Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 1, Modern Monsters, Episode 6, The Roommate. I'm Carolyn Rahman. It was halfway through finals week, and Alice had buried herself in the library under a pile of books and notes and audio recordings, under stacks of final papers for the horrible freshman English class she had to TA, and stacks of edits on her dissertation from her advisor. She claimed a cubicle and turned it into a hermit cave, with fluorescent lights and a distinct funk. She had not brushed her hair in 3 days, and had not made progress on her dissertation in 4. It was entirely on accident that she remembered she had a dinner meeting in time, and stumbled out of the library, her eyes struggling to adjust to the sudden twilight, her lungs chilling in the fresh air. She needed a new roommate, in theory. Of course, if her dissertation crashed and burned the way it surely would in the next week or so, she would have to drop out and not need a roommate. If the essay she had to grade kept being god-awful, she might strangle one of her students, and then prison would just assign her a roommate. No half-hearted online ad or creepy responses required. She did not have high hopes for her compatibility with the only non-creepy respondent, Vivian, but then again, she didn't have high hopes for being compatible with anyone at the moment. Her pessimism came to a head when Vivian strolled into the Thai place where they'd agreed to meet. She wore a black leather jacket, worn at the cuffs and creased at the elbows from years of looking amazing. Under it, she wore a navy mini dress, all soft curves except for the bulky industrial zipper, pulled down to a depth that wouldn't seem scandalous on anyone else, but drew the eye anyway. Alice never had the time or inclination for makeup, and had never learned to apply anything other than concealer, but she was curiously drawn in an academic way to painted eyes and brushed cheeks. A precise, glamorous look required a skill set that she lacked, and she had no idea where to start to gain that knowledge. And here was Vivian, skillful as an artist, exuding such class and confidence that Alice was struck with equal parts inferiority and awe. But more than how she looked was how she carried herself, proud and sure and sultry, snagging attention and holding it hostage. She stopped at the table and smiled. "Alice!" Her tone carried no concern she might be wrong. "Yeah," Alice said. Vivian's smile widened, filling Alice with an embarrassing warmth. "I'm Vivian. It's great to meet you." She made it sound like it really was great to meet her, which was insane. Vivian slipped out of her jacket and took control of her chair and control of her laminated menu. "I love this restaurant. Great choice. Do you know Chula, the head waiter? He'll give you free spring rolls if you come in often enough." "Oh, I don't know if I've met him." Alice shifted a bit lower in her seat, pulling her hands into the frumpy sleeves of her oversized sweater. The cuffs loosened and baggy from the repetition of this very gesture. She realized what she was doing and pushed her hands out again. While Vivian ordered a coconut water and coconut curry with tofu, Alice tried to slick down the stray wisps of hair escaping her ponytail. "So, PhD student in folklore." Vivian's eyes sparkled as she quoted from Alice's ad. The restaurant felt warmer than usual. "Does that mean you believe in fairies?"
"No."
"Ghouls?"
"No."
"Vampires?"
"It's not about whether I believe in them or not. I research how people act when they do believe. Historically, how these stories change people's behavior."
"Interesting. So what's your favorite story?"
Alice shrugged. Honestly, she didn't know anymore. With her academic career burning and crumbling in her hands, she wasn't sure she even liked folklore anymore. "I don't know."
"You don't know because you don't care enough about your subject to have a strong preference? Or you don't know because you care too much, and you don't trust me enough to leave yourself vulnerable to me making fun of it?"
Alice's face grew even hotter. The corner of Vivian's lips quirked.
"Or maybe you don't think I'm smart enough to get it."
"Oh, no, that's not." Vivian laughed. "I'm joking. You go on and play it close to the chest. I respect people not liking to talk about themselves. I mean, I have the opposite problem. You should know that. You should also know that I won't stop asking annoying questions. Bad habit. But there's no turning it off." Now she really ought to ask a question of her own. That's how conversations generally worked. and this dinner was for the express purpose of getting to know each other. But she could barely dredge up the enthusiasm to stay upright in her chair, much less ask compelling questions of someone beautiful who would never agree to see her again after witnessing the coffee stain on her sweater. So, she fiddled with the paper wrapper from her straw. You said you're a DJ? Yeah, but not one of those DJs that do the starving artist thing or the trust fund thing. And not one of those ones that get a bar mitzvah gig every other weekend and show up with a laptop. I work at a radio station, WDRA. It's salary, full-time, I get benefits. So don't worry about my ability to pay rent on time. It's just the night shift, but that works for me. I get a lot more freedom than they get during the day, or, God forbid, morning drive time. She gave a dramatic shudder, almost a shimmy. I get to play the deep cuts, and I get fewer managerial mandates to play the latest single every hour. And even though I work the night shift, don't worry about me going in and out at all hours, disturbing you. I leave in the evening, I get back when normal people wake up. I sleep in the day, but you don't have to tiptoe around for my benefit. I grew up with 5 siblings. I could sleep through a hurricane. I wash dishes right after I use them. I don't leave socks or bras all over the place. You can eat any of my food if you just give me a heads up. I live to share. But please don't drink my coconut water. That's a vice you should know about. I'm cuckoo for coconut water. I have a huge record collection and quality speakers that you can use, but in almost every apartment in this neighborhood, you get the best sound with headphones. So again, no disruption. And I do play the cello, but I'll practice while you're out. Alice blinked, overwhelmed, surprised they were still talking. You wouldn't have to do that. So, the cello? Yeah, Vivian said. I'm working on covering all the tracks on London Calling. I arrange and play all the parts. So you're pretty good? I'm getting there. How long have you been playing? I've been with the cello about a year. Before that, it was the marimba, the trombone, the banjo, the mandolin, then... She narrowed her eyes. The oboe, the guitar, the clarinet... No! The guitar, the accordion, the clarinet, the violin, and I started it all off with a piano. Oh, and the harp was in there somewhere. And the bassoon. Oh, well. Wow. It's a hobby. Do you have hobbies?
I watch dumb TV.
I love dumb TV. Those cooking competition shows might ruin my life. And have you seen the show about the pigeons? They follow these half dozen pigeons around the city like a nature special. And you get to know the pigeons. But they're all so stupid. I have no idea how it's a show, but it is. And I love it.
Sorry, I'm babbling again. I'm just nervous.
Alice blinked at her.
You're nervous to meet me?
Vivian laughed, like a drip of honey rolling from fingers to wrist. God, yes. I've been looking for an apartment for so long, and you seem cool and nice.
I seem cool? She most definitely did not seem cool. Unless you were into the smell of library bathroom soap that Alice had used to freshen up. But you're so much cooler than me. I mean, look at you. She waved a hand. If someone had done that to Alice, she would have looked down to check what she was wearing. Vivian, of course, did not. I figured you wouldn't want to be roommates with me.
I'm flattered.
No, I mean it. Why are you having trouble finding a place to live when you're... you?
Vivian blew out a breath, running a hand through her hair. For the first time, she looked less than perfect. Her suave, carefree persona slipped to show itself as a cover for anxiety. Her quick conversation revealed itself as word vomit. Her well-crafted outfit was to impress. Her insistence that she would be a good roommate was an attempt to be the best applicant for the job. The vampirism turns people off, she said.
Alice stared at her. What?
I'm a vampire. It seems dishonest not to tell people up front, but people get really weirded out by it.
Sarcasm overtook her voice. You're a vampire.
Yeah.
Vivian took a sip of her coconut water, not making eye contact.
I thought maybe with your background you might be more open-minded.
Alice relaxed, not having realized how high she'd held her shoulders. Of course, everyone who emailed her about the apartment was a creep. Now she wouldn't have to stress about being Vivian's inferior roommate, or about leaving her to cover rent alone when Alice moved back home to live in her dad's basement. My background also means I know how to decapitate you, put a brick in your mouth, bury you face down, and drive a metal stake through your chest to pin you to the ground. Supposedly. Vivian's eyes were back to sparkling.
Well, I guess we all have to take the chance that our roommate won't kill us.
Uh-huh. So are you going to attack me and drink my blood?
No, of course not. I haven't attacked anyone in 60 years.
Then where do you get your blood from? A blood bank?
No, Blood banks are surprisingly stingy about donating to people not associated with hospitals. And they catch on real fast if you steal stuff. And then they tighten up security so there's no repeat visits. And there's no one on the inside to make some bags fall off a truck or anything. I've looked into it, believe me. I figured they need to get rid of the donations they can't use, you know? Like when people with HIV donate and put the sticker on that says not to use their blood, but they get their blood drawn anyway so the coworker they're donating with doesn't know they have HIV. Turns out they don't let people have those, even if they're vampires, because they don't believe in vampires and think I just want HIV blood for nefarious reasons. No, I'm on the coconut water diet.
Coconut water?
Yeah, fun fact, you can use coconut water for emergency blood transfusions. I drink it constantly.
Okay.
Yeah. Alice wondered if she could leave before the food arrived.
See, Vivian said, you're weirded out.
No, why? Well, yeah, of course.
Do you eat garlic?
Not raw, but yeah, it's tasty.
Do you turn into a bat? Or a wolf? Or a mist?
Not even a little.
Do you have a reflection?
Mirrors reflect only vanity.
Then how do you put your makeup on?
Very carefully.
And are you going to say you're glamoring me now?
Vivian grinned, something almost predatory, and batted her eyelashes. Is it working?
Alice rolled her eyes. And you don't drink blood?
I do not.
Alice nodded. Seems to me you're not a vampire. But you think you are, and that's kind of crazy.
Vivian leaned forward. Okay, I can work with that. I mean, isn't that what your research is about? How people act when they believe in something crazy? Let's say I'm not a vampire. I just think I am, and I drink a stupid amount of coconut water, and I don't go out during the day. I don't tackle you in the night and drink your blood. You get to pick my brain as a case study. We get along great. You get a tidy, reliable roommate with one weird personality quirk, and I get a place to live. We both win.
And if you are a vampire?
Then it's exactly the same scenario, except I can also protect us from burglars with my super strength and scary fangs and glowing red eyes.
Your eyes aren't red and glowing.
Well, not right now. You're not a burglar.
Oh. They sat in silence for a moment.
Would I have to invite you in every time you came home?
Vivian shook her head.
If you give me a key and invite me to live there, there won't be a recurring problem.
Another moment of silence. Vivian tucked her hair behind her ear, stirring the coconut water with her straw. There was something unsure about the fidgeting that lodged in Alice's chest. Alice reached for a sweet and low packet from the caddy at the head of the table, shook it and tore off the top. Vivian parted her lips to protest, but Alice sprinkled a short line before she could make a sound. Vivian closed her eyes for 3 deep breaths, visibly holding herself back, then sighed and started plucking up sugar one crystal at a time, picking at the line with efficient little pinches, her lips moving in a silent count.
11, 12, 13, 14.
You know your stuff, she said with a self-deprecating smirk to her mouth.
19, 20, 21.
With a start, Alice realized that was true. She did know her stuff. For the first time in weeks, she actually felt good about herself. For the first time ever, her esoteric knowledge might actually be useful.
28, 29, 30.
There were like 1,000 sugar crystals. She reached across and brushed the rest of the sweet and low over the side of the table and into her palm. Vivian managed her noise of protest, reaching for the swept sugar and pulling up short when it vanished. Okay, Alice said. Let's be roommates. Vivian's eyes snapped up.
Really?
Yeah. I think we'll get along.
The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahman. If you like the show, please consider rating or subscribing on iTunes. It helps new people find the show. Visit the website 20percenttrue.blogspot.com for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at Carrie and the Hits.